Well, hello there. It's the Weekend Update. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I'm Bill Nye. That means it must be the weekend.
That's what they say. Yeah, that's why it's a good place to put the Weekend Update, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's a good thing we do this show. You know why?
Why?
At least then I have an idea, you know, the progression of the days. Otherwise,
you'd be so confused.
I'd be sitting there in my recliner watching
what
TV.
What day is it? I don't know.
What day is it? Is it time to go? Well, I don't know what day. Uh-oh.
Hey, once again, I wanted to point this out to our listeners, people who may have missed yesterday's show.
I don't think they did. I think a lot of people heard the show yesterday.
Yeah, we had a lot around the world. Thank you very much. We have we're a show in a sea of podcasts. We did some research, and the official estimate of podcasts that are out there available to you are 4 It's amazing. Everybody's got a podcast. 4,318,424. 4,318,424 podcasts, and probably growing on a daily basis. Out of that 4,318,424, this program, with no promotion, with nothing, just we do it every day, and you are kind enough to listen, we are ranked 648. Now, people may say, well, that's 640. Yeah, it's pretty good. Let me really narrow this down.
Okay, focus it in there,
yes,
buddy.
Yeah, out of the 648, right, you got sports podcasts. You've got betting podcasts. You've got lifestyle podcasts. And you've got a ton of different podcasts out there in that top 1,000, right? So here we are, our little audio podcast, basically. And we do it on a regular basis every single day. And we're right there at 648. That is amazing. We're in the upper 1%. We are less, we're like a fraction of a percent is where we are. I mean, it's amazing. And it's all because of people like you who've taken the time to find the program, listen to the program, and also obviously to tell friends about it. Because, and by the way, this is not just people who listen to it on one platform. Mm-hmm. This is people who listen to our program on all the platforms. Okay, this is a program that Spotify has that goes out and searches every single platform that carries this program, then puts all the figures together and comes up with that ranking. 648. So,
well, when we put the show out there, it's got a digital signature. We don't put it there. That's just how the internet works.
Yep.
So that means even if somebody that just sits there and, you know, has a preclusion to make their own little website and go, oh, this is the stuff I like. Well, those count too. Everything counts, and it's the sum total of everything that's out there that
right.
we put out there that's taken and redistributed and listened to. There is a tracking of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means there's a lot of people out there.
There are. And by the way, we mentioned this yesterday. We don't make any money off this program. We've never monetized it. We're in our third year. We've done it 6 days a week. 6 days a week for almost it'll be 3 years in December, okay? That's pretty amazing. Well, we're going to take some time off, by the way, in June. We have decided that we're going to take some time off, although we're not going to completely disappear, I think. I think we'll probably do some kind of little mini shows or something, just so you know we're still here.
Still there, yeah.
And still watching.
Well, you know, our contract didn't call for any money, and it didn't have a vacation plan until we
that's right.
We put a stranglehold on the powers that be.
I took the one of the partners in the network aside, and I said, Bill? no,
Taking some time off yours.
I think it's important that we get a little time to breathe, and we're going to do that. Although, like, it's hard to walk away from a show like this because you feel like you're talking to so many friends, and it's like your job to keep them informed, you know, and to take the time off. You kind of feel guilty about it, but you got to do it just to kind of recharge the battery, so to speak. So that will be in June. But hey, in the meantime, if you are somebody who owns a business that has a national kind of or a worldwide market, meaning your product can be sold anywhere, you know, maybe it's something you sell on the internet, you might want to consider talking to us. We're going to get a couple, hopefully, because we have such a good ranking. We're going to get, hopefully, a sponsor or two to help us defray our costs, because it is not cheap to do this. We do this all the time. We just, like we said, we Bill and I are the guys who foot the bill, and so it'll be nice to get maybe one or two sponsors to help us out. But we're not going to get a lot. We're not going to clutter the show up with advertisers and make this show something that it is not. You know?
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing. You don't see banner ads going all over the place. You don't hear interruptions. You know, and, you know,
unless they
Trump
give us a
said,
lot of money. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And Trump said today, time out now for a shoe commercial.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Or feminine hygiene product comes in right in the middle of a, I got to hear this. Wait a minute. Why am
that
I hearing about Temple?
There are guys on the internet, and I do like their shows, but they drop the commercials like anywhere they want to with no break. It's like they'll be in the middle of a conversation and they'll insert the commercial. And I'm thinking,
Doesn't that annoy you? Oh. And if you pause the audio for a minute and then you come back, it resumes and goes, well, what I was trying to...
That's right.
And then it stops for a commercial because they don't have any logic to doing it. Well, the logic is it's on a time sequence. So it doesn't matter where you are in that program or that you stopped it, went away, and came back. It's going, time for a commercial break, you sucker. It's probably, if it's a three-minute break, but they only have two 10-second commercials, you're going to see those two 10-second commercials
You're talking about the automated insertion of the commercial. But I've heard podcasts, seriously, I've heard podcasts where the guy literally thinks it's clever to just throw the commercial in on his show, the one that he inserts on his show, whenever he, you know, without saying we'll be back or something like that. You know, it's like
that's because the guy in today's terms is an idiot.
I like your technical jargon. Yeah. It really is very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, if you hear our show with a commercial just dropping in, it's not because we woke up idiots one day. It's because somebody has taken, and, you know, people could be listening to this right now and jumping in mid-sentence because a commercial was inserted. We have no idea.
Yeah, if you're hearing commercials out there, if you're hearing commercials right now in this show,
It ain't us,
okay? It's just it's whatever network that is carrying
us. Matter of fact, let us know.
Yeah, we're not getting any money out of it.
I'd like to know who streamed it so I can send them a bill.
Exactly. Hey, a lot of things going on, things that have caught my eye. There's a place kicker. There's a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. His name is Harrison Butker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy's good. I mean, he is a kicker that I wish were playing on my team, but he's not. But many times I've seen him kick against my team, and his kick makes a world of a difference against my team. And I've been very irritated by that, but he's a real classy guy. Harrison Butker is a real classy guy. He's a man who values his faith. He's Catholic. He's a Christian. He believes in the fundamental tenets of that faith, you know what I mean?
Basic values, yes.
Yeah, he was brought up this way. Well, he spoke at Benedictine College at their commencement ceremony, and I'm going to play a little bit of what he said, Bill, and this has caused the left to go bananas. Listen.
Throughout the COVID fiasco and how you missed out on so many milestones the rest of us older people have taken for granted. While COVID might have played a large role throughout your formative years, it is not unique. Bad policies and poor leadership have negatively impacted major life issues. Things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for degenerate cultural values and media, all stem from the pervasiveness of disorder. Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. He has been so vocal in his support for the murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people, it appears that you can be both Catholic and pro-choice. He is not alone. From the man behind the COVID lockdowns to the people pushing dangerous gender ideologies onto the youth of America, they all have a glaring thing in common. They are Catholic. This is an important reminder that being Catholic alone doesn't cut it. These are the sorts of things we are told in polite society to not bring up. You know, the difficult and unpleasant things. But if we are going to be men and women for this time in history, we need to stop pretending that the Church of Nice is a winning proposition. We must always speak and act in charity, but never mistake charity for cowardice. It is safe to say that over the past few years, I've gained quite the reputation for speaking my mind. I never envisioned myself nor wanted to have this sort of a platform, but God has given it to me, so I have no other choice but to embrace it and preach more hard truths about accepting your lane and staying in it. As members of the church founded by Jesus Christ, it is our duty and ultimately privilege to be authentically and unapologetically Catholic. Don't be mistaken, even within the church, people in polite Catholic circles will try to persuade you to remain silent. There even was an award-winning film called Silence, made by a fellow Catholic, wherein one of the main characters, a Jesuit priest, abandoned the church and as an apostate, when he died is seen grasping a crucifix, quiet and unknown to anyone but God. As a friend of Benedictine College, His Excellency Bishop Robert Barron said in his review of the film, it was exactly what the cultural elite want to see in Christianity, private, hidden away, and harmless. Our Catholic faith has always been countercultural. Our Lord, along with countless followers, were all put to death for their adherence to her teachings. The world around us says that we should keep our beliefs to ourselves whenever they go against the tyranny of diversity, equity, and inclusion. We fear speaking truth because now, unfortunately, truth is in the minority. Congress just passed a bill restating something as basic as the biblical teaching of who killed Jesus could land you in jail. But make no mistake, before we even attempt to fix any of the issues plaguing society, we must first get our own house in order, and it starts with our leaders.
That's Harrison Butker. Now, in my opinion, not a thing of what he said was controversial. Based upon the faith that I grew up in, I can tell you that he's just talking about what he's been taught all of his life, that it's a pro-life religion, that it is a pro-Christian religion. People may say, well, Catholics aren't Christian. No, they are. Trust me. The first faith, whether you believe it or not, the very first religion, Christian religion, was Catholicism. And then they had the Protestant Reformation, which wasn't a bad thing because it gave a place for people who disagreed with the corrupt popes of the time, a place for them to go and express their faith to God. So that's the problem. Man is always dividing man. Man is always attacking man. I've often said, if you are a Christian, a person of faith, I don't care what your faith is. Just be good in your faith, strong in your faith, because you know, Bill, I think of faith as like telephones, especially back 30 years ago. 30 years ago, you had the princess phone, you had the wall phone, you had the rotary phone, you had all these different phones, but you could always call the same number. You know, if you think of each different type of religion as a different type of phone, they all do the same thing. You're all calling God. In the end, in the very end of your life, you're going to be standing in front of God. But I want to tell you something.
And there's no interruptions with your communication to him, just so you know.
Exactly. And the other thing is this. Tomorrow on 60 Minutes, Pope Francis is interviewed by Nora O'Donnell. And he is, in my lifetime, he's the first installed pope. You're saying, well, I don't understand that. What do you mean installed pope? Up until he came along, the only way you could become pope is if the previous pope died. And then they would have a confab of cardinals, and they'd all be sequestered into a private room and the door locked, and they would be there for days sometimes deciding who would be the next pope. And then in the privacy of that room, they would select somebody. And you could tell at the end of every day, right, there would be white smoke or black smoke and black smoke, you know, what, And I guess when there was white smoke, there was a pope. You know, if there was black smoke, well, no pope. That's how you knew. Well, this guy all of a sudden comes along, and they push Pope Benedict to the curb. They say, well, you're too old, and you're feeble, and you probably have health issues, and you probably won't last very long. By the way, he lasted about 10 or 15 years. I mean, he could have been pope for quite a considerable time longer. But
they didn't like his message. So
no, he was a conservative pope, Bill. He was a conservative pope. This guy here, the guy that's in the papacy now, and this is why, by the way, people have left the Catholic Church over the course of history. People have left Catholicism because of not the religion, but because of the guys who run the religion. Bad popes. Now, this guy comes along yesterday. Here's a clip of what he's going to say tomorrow on 60 Minutes about his view on conservatism. On conservatism. Now, mind you, Harrison Butker, what he talked about was he was talking as a conservative Catholic. Here's Harrison. Here's Pope Francis on his interview with Nora O'Donnell.
There are conservative bishops in the United States that oppose your new efforts to revisit teachings and traditions. How do you address their criticism?
You used an adjective, conservative. That is, conservative is one who clings to something and does not want to see beyond that. It is a suicidal attitude. Because one thing is to take tradition into account, to consider situations from the past, but quite another is to be closed up inside a dogmatic box.
You know, he is an embarrassment. It's funny. I have heard some of the finest evaluations of this guy from non-Catholics, guys like Dennis Prager, who's a Jew, Rush Limbaugh, back in 2013, he called the Pope, this Pope here, Francis, he called him a Marxist. Now, he didn't do it disrespectfully to the position or the faith. He was just making an observation. The guy is a Marxist. He's a Marxist first and a theologian second. You know, the Catholic Church teaches, for example, pro-life. It has been pro-life without fail forever. This guy comes along and starts to vacillate about being pro-life. The Catholic Church has always had a definitive stance on homosexuality. I'm not trying to be rude, but they've had a stance, you know, that you love everybody. You love your brother. You love your brother if he's a homosexual, you love him. But you don't condone the lifestyle. That's how the church is. I'm telling you, as a Catholic, how I was taught. This guy comes along and has a completely different point of view, which was applauded, by the way, by LGBTQ+.
Well, people want to change, you know, our beliefs, the way that we believe. Look at this country. It was founded. It is not country first, then God. One nation under God. God before.
Yeah. Right.
Anything else.
And Judeo-Christian society. That's what we are. We're a Judeo-Christian society.
That's why I've said, you know, the country that you believe that we live in was overthrown a while ago, and the elections have proven that. So I'm not saying I'm an election denier, but I am. You know, I'm not a denier. I believe that it was stolen. And I believe that for the longest time in the world, and we've said it all along, other people are saying it now, that we're one party with
two different faces, right?
We're one party with two different departments.
Yeah,
that it's a sham. I'll know the analogy here.
Well, I know exactly what you're saying. We're one party with two different faces. But they're playing on the same side. You know, that we think they present themselves as being opposition, the opposition party, when in reality, behind the curtain, behind the scenes, they're working together. There's a goal that they both share. I wanted to tell you, this Harrison Butker has got courage. Apparently, the city doxed him. The city doxed him. They put it, I guess they must have proposed it as address on the internet somewhere, and it was from the city. And so the Attorney General of Kansas apparently said, oh, this is wrong. You can't do that. You have a right in this state to talk about your faith freely without being punished. And so apparently the Attorney General of Kansas is going after, it says here, Kansas City under investigation for alleged human rights violations after doxing Harrison Butker. That's the headline. So the Kansas City Chiefs owner,
yeah,
it's owned by the Hunt family, and Tavia Hunt and her daughter Gracie were very outspoken about Harrison Butker's comments. They support him. They support him. They know him. They think that he has, but I don't think they're Catholic, by the way. I could be wrong, but I don't think they're Catholic. But I think they are good people who realize that he was speaking from the heart. As a matter of fact, his comments weren't anti-woman. They didn't diminish women. If anything, they elevated women. He talked about how proud he was of the type of women that were seated in front of them, the achievements they had reached, and where they were going to go in their lives. He just said that along the way, some of them will find that their most special place is at home as a mom. And Gracie Hunt, the granddaughter of the founder of the Kansas City Chiefs, was on Fox and Friends yesterday, and here's what she said.
We're going to start with you because the couch would like to know, as America would, the reaction from the Hunt family regarding the kicker, Harrison Butker.
Well, I can only speak from my own experience, which is I've had the most incredible mom who had the ability to stay home and be with us as kids growing up. And I understand that there are many women out there who can't make that decision. But for me in my life, I know it was really formative in shaping me and my siblings to be who we are.
So you understood what he was talking about?
For sure.
Okay.
And I really respect Harrison and his Christian faith and what he's accomplished on and off the field.
Hear that? And I really respect Harrison and his Christian faith and what he's accomplished both on and off the field. That's kind of nice. It's nice to have. By the way, the NFL, it in general, has wimped. They are wimps. They are a woke, empty suit. And now, look, I love to watch football. It's funny. You can't, Bill, get away from it on Sundays. No matter how much I hate what they do socially and politically and stuff, there's something about when the game is on, you just put everything aside and you watch the athletes for their skills and what they do. But it really, it's getting harder and harder. I know people, by the way, Bill, who were once big fans, big football fans, who have just turned their back on it because of the NFL's woke stance on everything. And I blame it on the commissioner. The commissioner, what's his name? Roger Goodell. He is a waste of space, makes a lot of money. I mean, I think he makes like $700 million a year, some ridiculous amount of money. Nobody is worth that. I look at a guy like that making all that kind of money and think, wait a second, here's a heart surgeon over here that can literally open your chest up, grab your heart, take it out of your body, put a new one in, put it back on, and you can keep going, and he'll get maybe $250,000 a year. And then you have a clown over here who's glad-handing every athlete in football and just messing up a great game, and he's making three times what you're making? Nah, it doesn't make sense to me, but anyway.
Well, money's not real anymore, and that's a whole different show and a whole different topic. But it's probably one that maybe we ought to bone up on and do because things are about to change in the financial realm.
Yeah, that's true. That is very, very true. Our world is it's going through some major changes as we speak. And I if you were bothered by that first story, I apologize, but it's something we had to talk about, I think, because this is an upside-down world. I come from a world where if Harrison Butker had said what he said 20 years ago, it would have gone unnoticed. Nobody would have said a thing. It would have just been one of many commencement speeches that people, celebrities said, and it wouldn't have been talked about. But think about it for a second. Mm-hmm. In the world we live in today, he says what he says. He doesn't swear. He never criticizes anybody. He doesn't come out and say it's better to be a mom than be a teacher or be an engineer. Or he never says that. He just talks about the importance of both and how mm-hmm. wonderful it is and all these great opportunities. And if you decide to be a mom, don't let anybody diminish the importance of that. That's what he says. But, you know, nowadays the left, Bill, goes frigging nuts, you know. Mm-hmm. But they want this world to be this way. The left wants you to be doxxed. The left wants to hurt you, not just say it's wrong. They want to hurt you. That's the difference. They want mm-hmm. you to lose your job. There were people who were calling for the Kansas City Chiefs to fire this Super Bowl winning kicker. This is a guy. This is a hell of a kicker. Go ahead.
That's not going to happen with the Hunt family being the money behind the Kansas City Chiefs. You got to go back to the beginning because their money was founded in oil from Texas. You know,
right.
You know, he was an oil tycoon. I met once. Sometimes I kid say, "Well, I was a little kid." I was a little kid when I met June Hunt. You know, and I think they had Baptist and Methodist, and she had the Hope for the Heart Foundation, a Christian ministry foundation.
Wonderful people, wonderful family.
But yeah, I couldn't say it about all the Hunts, but the ones that I've known that have risen to the top have all been based in Christianity and faith. And apparently it's paid off for their family because they are soaked in wealth because they've given back so much in the biblical faith. So, and I'm not here to preach a sermon. Don't.
No, it's okay. You're among friends.
But I am telling you that, you know, you look at this guy and he shines the light of the family that owns them.
Yeah.
And now I look at the other guy that dates,
I know you're talking about Taylor Swift's Travis Kelce.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not putting him down. I don't know anything about him, but what I see, I'm going like, yeah, he's a great player, but he wears his skills, you know, they cloud his brain he's just a big dumb jock. You know,
where's Patrick Mahomes? He's the quarterback for the Chiefs. Where are all the, first of all, these guys have made a ton of money. They don't need the money or even need the job. Where are these guys who proclaim to be Christian? I'm not talking about, they don't have to be Catholic. Just be Christian and stand next to this guy. Stand next to Harrison Buckner.
This guy, Buckner said one thing that sticks out. He goes, you know, stay in your lane. You know, so in other words, you're in that Christian lane, you be in that Christian lane. You're in that conservative lane, you're in that conservative lane. Be true to who you are.
He said, and another thing, he didn't plan on being this controversial figure.
No.
He didn't plan on being outspoken and having people take his words as seriously as they do. But he says he embraces it. It's what God wants me to do, and it's what, you know, I've been put in this position. I've been given a lot of great things, a lot of great talents, and with these talents come responsibility.
And he's being rewarded for it, too, because now, you know, and hear me right, you can sit there and, you know, have a dream or something like that, and God can put you in a position. Or if you want to say it's life, but it's God that puts you in a position. It may not, you may get what you want, but you may not be rewarded with wealth for doing it.
You know what's interesting, though? This is a little side note.
Okay.
You know, all of these left-leaning groups are telling the Chiefs to fire them and get rid of them and all this stuff. By the way, if the Chiefs dumped this guy, football is just hungry enough where there's some major league team out there that would grab him in a heartbeat. He wouldn't be on the market for 20 minutes. But they're not going to get rid of him because he's a hell of a kicker and he's a good man. And by the way, kickers, if you think of how their career can go much longer than the average football mm-hmm. player, Because all they basically do is they kick, they go sit on the bench. They kick.
Yeah, but they have to be good at what they do. And what can a kicker do? Well, they can kick you into the Super Bowl because I remember the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was his name? Andy something or other, but he was the kicker. And
Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson, that was it.
Yeah.
And then you had the other guy that was a baseball player that turned football. He was basically from his shoulders up. He was all wood. I'm trying to remember him, but, you know, and he was the quarterback they leaned on that just couldn't deliver, and, you know, they couldn't get their plays. But old Gary would come out
Gary, if you looked at him, Bill, honest to God, he was kind of a little guy, thin. He didn't look like a football player because he really didn't have to be. All he had to do is kick the ball and sit down. You know, and that's basically what they do. I mean, every so often they'll get knocked down, roughing the kicker, and then they'll get a penalty, and then life is good. But I wanted to point out that all this controversy is going on about Harrison Butker. His shirt, number 7, Kansas City, is the biggest selling shirt now, I think, in the NFL store. Everybody wants Harrison Butker. I even looked myself yesterday. I was thinking, should I buy a shirt as a show of support? I think I might buy a Harrison Butker.
The money doesn't go to him. He might get a percentage, but it's going to go to a vendor that has woke thoughts.
But what it says to him is it's a show of support.
Yeah.
You know, if he knows that millions of his shirts are being sold, then he knows that a lot of people are. And by the way, I don't live in Kansas City. You know, see, he can tell where these people are who are buying his shirt. And I'll bet you a lot of them don't support the Chiefs. They support other teams, but they support this guy for his stance on Christianity and his faith. You know, I think it's interesting story, and I didn't want to take the whole show talking about it, but I thought you'd be interested. And by the way, that Pope Francis, his whole interview is tomorrow on 60 Minutes. And this guy he's not what he purports to be. He really isn't. He was installed, and he has a lot of great Catholics that I know can't stand the guy because of his position, how he has messed up his faith. You know, people say, well, isn't the Pope supposed to be infallible? They teach you that when it comes to doctrine, he's infallible. I mean, that means faith, okay?
He's a man, so he's fallible.
Yeah, he is very, very fallible. A sad story, Bill, yesterday. You might have heard about this. They found three of the hostages' bodies in the Gaza, in the Rafah area. And one of them is, I believe, a young woman, God bless her, who had been captured at the music festival, where they came in with their gliders and her name. I'm trying to look for her name and I can't find it. The body of a 28-year-old fashion stylist was identified by her family. She was kidnapped at the Nova Music Festival. Hamas terrorists targeted the festival, knowing thousands of young Israelis would be in attendance. The Palestinian terrorists killed over 300 innocents and kidnapped another 100 Jews at the festival. The one that I'm talking about, her name is, I think his name is Laurie, or Lavi, and she was a tattoo artist. She was half German, half Israeli. And she was, they got a hold of her. They broke her legs. They tortured her. And they raped her. This is the...
Of course they did.
The vicious terrorist from the Hamas members who came in, and then they took her away. Well, they then
let's go back to Hamas and what they represent. That's their face right there, what they did.
Yeah, but they murdered her. Listen to this. Mm-hmm. After they raped her and they dragged her, they paraded her through the streets in Gaza. They parade and people were yelling Allah Akbar, which means God is good, or God is great. This is a young woman. I'm sure she was partially clothed. If maybe she could have been naked for all I know when they were dragging her through the street, but she was dead. She was 22 years old. her whole world was ahead of her. She was, you could see in the pictures of her, you could see life in her eyes. And she's dead. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying that don't hold your breath for the other hostages that they supposedly have being alive. Well, I mean, Donald Trump, by the way, has said that he believes they're dead. And I happen to agree. And, you know, he probably has an inside track. Somebody's probably told
him. Think he knows a lot more than because he's got intel. But, you know, until you have proof that they're not dead, you have to hope and look. There might be a time to give up hope, but you never give up hope until you know for sure. So, because, you know, the media, though, they won't show you the pictures of that. They'll show you something graphic if it suits them for whatever their cause is and whatever they're instructed to do. But you should see that. And you should have the label of who did that there so that you understand when you see these protest rallies coming up, pro-Hamas, and they're for that, well, then they're for this too. And that could be your child being drugged through the street, naked, legs and arms dangling, broken and raped. And
Bill, here's the story that I was looking for. Her name is Shani Luke. Shani was murdered by Hamas barbarians when they targeted a youth concert in southern Israel. Shani Luke, the 22-year-old German-Israeli tattoo artist, was last seen at a rave party in the northern Negev area where Hamas militants stormed in and killed at least 260 attendees, 260 people who were just there to party. I'm sure they didn't have any weapons. I'm sure they were unarmed. Initial reports hinted at Shani Luke being sexually assaulted and killed with her lifeless body flaunted around Gaza as an appalling trophy of terrorism. Disturbing images and videos showed the militants spitting on her body, chanting Allahu Akbar, meaning God is great, as they paraded through the Gaza area bearing Luke's corpse. Think about that for a second, okay? And now you hear the Biden administration with this doofus, Blinken.
Antony Blinken, yeah.
You hear him talking about how we should be considerate of the Gazan people. Mind you, the people of Gaza, you have to remember this, they voted Hamas in time and time again, you know? They didn't do it blindly. Hamas was their government of choice. It reflects what they believe. And, you know, for people to be standing in a parade watching a little girl's body being dragged through the streets and have them spit on it, that says something about what we're dealing with in Gaza. You know, Biden is just trying to, he's trying to pacify both sides of the street so he doesn't lose the Arab-American vote in Michigan and places like that. That's all it's about. He's not doing it. And by the way, that is such a lousy governmental friend to our allies. You know, here's Israel. They've been a friend of ours for decades, and we have stood by them, and they have stood by us when time has been tight. And all of a sudden, Biden comes along, and he wants to pacify both sides of the street. You know, he wants to pacify the Israelis, but he's saying, well, we can't give you the bombs to bomb all that area because you'll be bombing people from Gaza. Well, it's a war, you know. Anyway,
yeah, we're not talking genocide; we're talking war, and you have to do things and break things and blow things up. And yes, people are going to be killed, but
yeah.
It's not like Hamas doing the trophy thing there that they did. It's an entirely different thing, but
well,
that's my thoughts.
Anyway, that is a sad story, and if they're holding their breath for other hostages to come out alive, I can't see that happening. Because, you know, in all these discussions about having ceasefires and things like that, they don't talk about handing over the hostages. You know that.
Because there are no hostages, that they're just keeping that out there. You know, that's that little carrot on the stick hanging there. It's not there. So,
yeah.
But, you know, until we have the bodies or something that proves otherwise, you have to have faith.
Yeah, you gotta have faith. Anyway,
there are stories where that happens. Yeah,
the war, you know, China and Russia have gotten together. I guess the leaders of Putin and Xi have gotten together, and I guess they're strengthening their commitment to stand next to each other against us. This Biden has put us further and further away from safety, closer and closer to war. He has pushed us closer to war, whether we know it or not. And our enemies are formidable. I mean, China by itself would be a problem. Russia by itself would be a problem. But the two of them together against us would be just unbelievable. And that's what Biden has done.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've talked about the border and, you know, and we've mentioned all the Chinese that have come across. Apparently more Chinese, which I think we've mentioned before, nationals illegally entered the U.S. in 2 days this month than in all of 2021, over 10,000. And those were the cots. Those are not the getaways. I mean, a year ago before, it might have been 500 during the whole year. No, we're talking like 10,000. So,
you know, you talk about those figures. I heard something yesterday which just knocked me into my chair. We hear officially, you know, like on news stories, 8 million illegals during the Biden administration, 10 million illegals. No, no, no. The figure that they're throwing around at the border, I'm talking about the people in the know.
Here we go.
30 million.
Yeah.
They say between 20 and 40, a good estimate is 30 million have gotten in, because they're including in that figure all of the gotaways, and there are a ton of gotaways.
Yeah, and they're here now, so when is it, are they going to show up for the election? Because Biden sure wants to have that election with them being able to vote, getting voter ID cards. They don't want you there to watch them count the votes. You know, and again, I'll reiterate, you know, I mean, we've got a one-party system with two different marketing departments. There you go. That's what I was trying to think of earlier.
Yeah. You know, Bill, you're absolutely correct. I think it was in Washington, D.C. They have allowed illegals to vote in local elections.
Yes, that's true.
But here's the thing, Bill. Once they're in the booth, what's to stop them from voting in a federal election? Once they're in there, can't they just vote for whoever they want to vote for?
Yeah, they can. Look, we are under siege. And, you know, that gets back to when we talked about the attempt on Trump's life yesterday. And then he's got a big motorcade. Like, you know, they say the election was stolen in 2020. He tried to steal it in 2020 with the January 6th. I'm here to tell you it was stolen, but it wasn't January 6th. It was stolen back in November the previous year, because that is when they couldn't finish what they were doing back in 2016. So they wrapped it up, or whenever the election was, 17, whatever it was. I get the four-year 16. Thing mixed up. 16, yeah. They didn't complete it then. They thought it was going to be, and Hillary was sitting there going, wait, what the hell happened? I'm, you know, this was preordained.
Yeah. Do you know what happened yesterday?
What?
It's Rudy Giuliani's, I think, 80th birthday.
Oh, and they hit him more with more...
with an indictment from Arizona.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, it's one of those people who was inserted into office questionably during the 2020 election. He's now the attorney general, I guess 2022 election. He is now flexing his muscles because he's been there a while. A lot of people think he was installed and he didn't win fairly, you know, as did the governor. That's just what they're saying down there in Arizona. But this guy, instead of just letting things go, instead of leaving Trump's people alone, they're
giving his one day. Jeez.
They're continuing to go after Trump's people. Steve Bannon, you know, lost his appeal, and now Steve Bannon may end up in jail along with Peter Navarro. Steve Bannon.
Oh, yeah, they want him locked up now because Bannon has a big voice with his podcast. And if he's in jail, now, can he do the podcast from prison? No, I don't think so. or they'll make sure people are yelling in the background. It won't work. So they want to silence that voice. They want to silence voice that they can.
And, you know, Bannon used the same argument that Navarro did, executive privilege. And, you know, I want you to understand something, that Biden now is saying that I can't give you the tapes that you want, Congress, because of executive privilege, for the exact same reason. And he wants you to say, oh, okay. By the way, the reason why Navarro and Bannon were found guilty, supposedly, is because they said, well, you didn't have executive privilege. It was a personal decision, and it would affected you personally. And well, the same thing is with Biden and his situation. But the media is doing nothing.
Go ahead. Here's the difference. You know, because we talked about before in other shows that in a court, it's theater of the court, meaning that the attorneys are directors, the witnesses are actors. It's who puts on the best show. Now, along with theater of the court is the court of public opinion. Well, guess who who controls that? The media. Well, that is controlled by the White House, except for outlets like us that sit there and say, no. Wait a minute. Back this bus up. Let's take a real look at the picture here. Democrats are getting their news. Oh, I listen to CNN. Look at their history. Uh-huh. Yeah, let's look at their history. They started out talking about the Gulf War and all of that and everything that was going on there. Great, you know. But since then, a lot of hands have changed, and that a monkey wrench has gotten thrown into the place. And now it is controlled, and it is a mouthpiece of the Biden administration. I mean, there are so many things that are going on that I could sit here and, I could throw financial things out there. Yeah, we're in jeopardy with our finances. You know that. And the currency that's going to change over and what's going on there and the ties to BlackRock and everything else.
The commission, Bill, the Commission on Presidential Debates, okay?
Right.
They are the people who are in charge of the debates. It used to be the Daughters of Foreign War. I forgot who it was. But there was a different group that ran it years ago.
Because now it's controlled.
Now they've formed this Commission on Presidential Debates, and they've been taking care of it for the last two decades, I guess. But the thing is this. Biden comes along with this debate, and part of the rules, he lays down the rules as far as what he will do. He doesn't want the Commission on Presidential Debates involved in this debate. He gave four networks, NBC, CNN, ABC, and Telemundo. So President Trump said, fine, I'll go with the first. So they went with CNN and NBC. And then Trump said yesterday, we'll do it on ABC and Telemundo too. Biden said no. He had suggested it. But when Trump said, okay, I'll do it, no, he took it away.
This is a debate for the American public, right? So
yeah.
Who the hell is he to say where we're going to watch it from? It used to be when those debates were on, it was the network's choice to cover it, and it could be on my toe broadcasting if I had the equipment to be there and do it.
Hey,
and I had an audience.
You know, he said this, right?
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. Since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
At least six jump cuts in 13 seconds. I mean, this guy had a hard time speaking for 13 seconds continuously.
Well, you know, they're banking on a couple of things. You know, he goes, he didn't want to debate anybody. Well, Biden, you didn't debate anybody, so shut the hell up. Quit lying through your teeth. You know, you're hiding from everybody, but you did say something there. I hear you're free on Wednesdays. You also said,
I'll do it twice. I'll even do it twice.
They're touting that, Trump's not going to show up. Kamala's going, I volunteer now. Not volunteer. I accept my debate thing. And I'm going like, let's protect Trump and make sure he can make it to the debate, because they either want to lock him up or they're going to take him out. And yes, they will take out a hit on a former president. Said it that way so it's very clear what I said.
You so don't you, have to you, edit it. Do you together. Think, Bill, that there will be a presidential debate this year?
You know what? If I were in Las Vegas on odds, I would say the odds are. I know the odds are against there being an election. I would bet against there being an election, and I will bet against. If you said two debates, I would say no, probably not. It's not going to happen. You know. Now the Democrats, they love to pick on everybody. They go after everybody with a vengeance out there, and they try to they try to smear him. What was it here? I was seeing that.
What if Biden gets sick?
Oh, he could get sick. Yeah. Trump could get sick too. You know that lead poisoning disease.
Yeah.
That goes around like the guy from Boeing. That you know he was in a he was feeling great. He was the witness against Boeing with all the things going on. And just pulls over, and he had that lead disease in the back of his neck from a shiny, nice, shiny
brand new. But they called it suicide, Bill.
They called it suicide. Well, you know what? Historically, that has happened a lot.
A lot of guys will shoot themselves in the back of the head.
Well, you know, I think it's better to take, you know, like, you know, a shotgun where you can't even put your toe in it and blow your brains out. But, yeah, you know, your hand was... It was around it, you know, and your finger was on the trigger. Yeah, okay, suicide. I get it. You know, this was an out of the way side, but I don't know that we're going to get that. Now I do know this: Trump hasn't announced his VP, and he's carrying it on, and I think he should stretch it. He said, well, he'll probably do it for the convention in July, and I thought I wouldn't do that because. The Democrats have already set the dates based on that convention because they want to stack the decks. Kamala's not a sharp cookie, but they want to stack those decks, and they want to throw crap against whoever it is. They want, and they're taking pot shots at everybody now, trying to get their mudslinging machine together to really make them look bad. If I were Trump, I would sit there and say, when do I absolutely, positively, for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, have to sit there and name the person because I'm going to hold that card close until the bitter end. And at which point in time, since they've set two dates, I think one of them is in July or on the 13th, the other one's something around the 8th of August or maybe a little bit later. Let those dates pass because I guarantee the networks will say, well, okay, we'll just have a one-on-one with Kamala. Let them have that one-on-one. Trump. Take those questions and then take your person and in a studio have your own commentator ask the questions and just make it where you control the narrative. They can't do anything and buy the damn time.
Trump is next week going to do a rally in the South Bronx. I don't think any president has done a rally in the South Bronx in 50 years, if that. And I'm concerned about it, to be honest with you. But people have said that his support in the South Bronx is massive right now. People in areas that normally are pro-democratic have had enough. If you look at the trends, by the way, even though the Democrats still hold the majority of minority votes, they still see their numbers eroding. I think right now the black vote is at 22%. I think in the 2020 election, it was 13%.
Mm-hmm.
So it is it's significant.
Here's another reason to think that they might be wanting to take out Trump. You know, you look at Nikki. She lost hands down, but she's sitting back like a cat with a smirk on its face.
Yeah,
going,
yeah,
I
that's
know
true.
Something that you don't know, because what happens if Trump gets the lead disease? What happens?
Well,
if that
you
happens?
Know, she had a rally of sorts with her backers 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
You know, well,
she said to thank them for their support.
And who are her backers, by the way?
God knows. I don't know.
Well, you know, one of besides Soros and money filtered in, Biden's got a buddy by the name of Lynch that heads up BlackRock, And wow. You didn't know that?
No, I did not. I did not. And they're a big organization. Are you talking about the security
yeah, or the investment? Yeah, the big tower. It says BlackRock on it. Lynch, the guy that's head of it.
Well, there's BlackRock, the investment firm that owns everything, a little bit of everything.
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, and then there's BlackRock, the security company that sends mercenaries all over the world. So there.
No, I'm talking about.
Bill, they may be connected. By the way, I don't know.
Well, they could because they own everything. But and that's a financial story there, really, because. Yeah. And cryptocurrency, what is cryptocurrency? It's digital coins. And the government is, look, they're going to put the SEC in charge of cryptocurrency. And I think they have until February to do it. When they do that, the government has its hands in and control of. So when you see it now in stores, the little barcode there, you can shop with cryptocurrency. It's attractive to a retailer because if you sell online, somebody can go, I bought this thing with their credit card. The funds can be reversed. All sales final with crypto. So that looks attractive. There's certain things, but it's not real. It's a digital algorithm that you're trading in, and the government's going to control it. That means that in real time, all of your sales of everything that you do is tracked where the government has control of it, and the IRS has a picture of it right then and there to hit you right then and there.
Oh, boy. We could talk forever about
cryptocurrency. That's a whole
finances.
We'd need to really a guy to come in here and, go into details.
It's concerning what you say about the physical jeopardy that Trump is in right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And my reason for the crypto thing, we don't know who Nikki's backers are, but the fact that after she's out of the election, she has a rally with them. So she is that Cheshire Cat, or the whatever you call
the Cheshire Cat,
the Cheshire Cat, that sitting there, it's like, I know something that you don't know. She knows. She is a part of the deep state. Again, you got a one-party system with two different marketing departments, and we are not the United States of America. Mm.
Well,
just saying that's a
with the grace. I was listening to a wonderful podcast with Ben Bergram.
Thought you were going to say you were listening to the Jim and Bill show.
Well, that besides that, I do listen to that. But this guy is a guy who spends most of his time on our southern border, and he was talking about the jeopardy that we're in. And he came out and said, "Trust me, there are terrorists in this country." It's not a matter of maybe are there terrorists in this country. He said they're here. That's a known fact. And they're going to do something sometime, and it will be when we least expect it. And I'm thinking, Bill, that it wouldn't surprise me for them to cause turmoil around election time. They don't want, by the way, the terrorists and the illegals do not want Trump in the presidency, because he has vowed to move as many of them out of the country as he can. They want a continuation of this do-nothing, lackluster administration, and if they can help keep Biden in office, I think they're going to try, and it may be with turmoil.
Well, it may be. Who knows? We may be praying to the digital god Biden 20 years from now.
Oh, my God. Holy smokes. Please.
Well, I'm...
Bill, well, please. I'm blessing myself.
Really, in reality, here's my little joke of the day. If you pull the mask off the old lone Biden, you'll see Obama.
That's true. It's a joke is on us.
Seriously.
We have done it, my friend. Another weekend program. A reminder that you can contact us anytime you want to by going to our website, which is www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. And by the way, I think we get probably more hits on that one, don't we? It's probably easier.
Yeah, really, really what you need to do, and if you want to send a mail, it's jimandbill@itsanotherday.com. That's the one that we actually forward down to us because we realize You know, we got a half dozen emails here. Let's just center on one. Jim Simplify and Bill, as easy to know. And itsanotherday.com, because you know that was the original website, and people kind of go, oh, Jim and Bill, it's another day. So, Jim and Bill, it's anotherday.com.
You know, people are funny. They've actually made this podcast. We started out as It's Another Day, right? But people now refer to it as Jim and Bill.
Yeah.
It's become us and not the name of the
show. If you type
show.
Jim and, it comes up Jim and Bill, and in parentheses, it's another day. So that being the case, that is what the searches are. That's what you want. That's what we is.
Okay, with that being said, I'm going to call it a day. I'm gonna chill for the remainder of the weekend, maybe listen to a couple of podcasts, lean back, relax, take in a movie or something, and just relax. What are you going to do?
I don't know, but ladies and gentlemen, Jim will be chilling.
Do you have anything to add before we wrap this thing up?
No.
Okay. he had to think about that.
Yeah. You know, I was gonna complain my lousy night of sleep, you know, tossing and turning. All of a sudden, I'm going, oh man, I got a crick in my back and a crick in my neck.
But I do think there's one thing you could add to close the show. What you normally say at the end of the show with feeling.
Feelings. Hasta la vista, baby.
No, we're out of here. No.
Want it that way?
The other way, though.
All right. A little more attitude. Hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.